Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Have you ever given your testimony? Do you know what a testimony is? In Acts chapter 26, Paul the Apostle says, "O King Agrippa, I was traveling on the road to Damascus, and this bright light, brighter than the sun, came down out of heaven," and he talks about how Jesus converted him on the road to Damascus. He gave his testimony. And if you've seen this program a lot, you know that whenever I do an interview, I always ask the interviewee, "Can you tell me your testimony? How did you come to know Christ?" I love those testimonies. Well, this weekend, I am preaching in Flint, Michigan, and they've asked me to come give my testimony. And I worked it up, and I thought, well, I don't know that I've ever done this on TV. So if you don't mind, I want to give you my testimony today. There's really two testimonies. The first is my normal one. But the second thing they want me to do in the church in Flint, Michigan, they want me to share my personal struggle with same-sex attraction. So I will. Not the easiest thing to talk about, but let's do our testimonies today. Let's pray. Father, we pray that every Christian watching this program would be willing to give their testimony and talk to others about how you have brought them to Christ. And Lord, I pray this will be helpful to people, that people will be brought closer to Christ now through the story. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's testimony number one. I was raised in Omaha, Nebraska. My dad was Catholic. My mom was Lutheran. All of us Brock kids were baptized Catholic and raised Lutheran. I think that was mom and dad's agreement. We never talked about it. Dad went to church every Sunday, to Catholic church. Mom and the kids went Lutheran every Sunday. But then we came home and didn't really talk about God much in my family. In fact, I don't think I ever had one talk with my dad about God. Well, when I was 12 years old, Lutherans go to what's called confirmation. They learn the faith, and it was good for me. I learned about the Trinity. I learned that Jesus was God. I learned about the second coming when Christ comes down and ends the world and raises the dead. So that was all good. But I don't think I understood that we're saved by grace, by what Christ did on the cross. I think I was of the misunderstanding you have to be good enough and you kind of earn it yourself. Well, then about age 13, I got my confirmation Bible and I started reading my Bible every night. Now, I don't think anybody told me to read the Bible, but I had an older sister, Ruth Ann. And when I would go into her bedroom at night, she always had her white confirmation Bible on her lap and would read the Bible. So when I got my Bible, because of Ruth Ann, I just started reading my Bible every night. And I think that was good for me. When I got in high school and my friends were getting drunk and doing marijuana, I couldn't bring myself to do that. Well, then I go to college, and I think I was a Christian by this point, but it was iffy. I wasn't sure if premarital sex was wrong, didn't know if abortion was wrong. I just didn't know. Then I joined a Bible study my first year of college, and these are Bible-believing Christians, and I remember them being insistent that there's a hell. And I remember arguing, well, if you were born in China, you'd be a Buddhist too, and then in my first year of college, I reread the New Testament. And every time it mentioned hell, I wrote it down. I still have those notes. And my mind started to change. During early college, next to the campus, there was a tent revival. I'd never been to a tent revival. And I thought I'd go and see what it was. So I go there, and there's all these people worshiping, and it was beautiful worship. But during the worship, these two young men come up to me and, "What's your name?" Well, we entered, and they said to me, "Tom, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And I remember my response, yeah? Because Lutherans don't talk like that. And then, my second year of college, God really started to grab my life. And there was a young woman who shared what's called the Four Spiritual Laws, a little salvation booklet with my friends and I. Things are starting to get clear that we're saved by Christ and not by good works. It's, we all need Christ to be saved. And I started leading a Bible study in college. And I remember after Bible study one day, Pam, one of our students there, Tom, can I talk to you privately? I said, yeah. Well, Tom, are you sure you're saved? And I got a little offended. I said, I think I'm saved. No, are you sure you're saved? And I said, yes. And she left, and I'm sitting there thinking, did I lie? Because I don't think I was sure at that point. And it was about that time that 1 John 5:13 was explained to me. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Because it depends on Christ and what he did. It's grace, not your good works. That's when the light bulb went on for me. Changed my life. And then, I won't go into the details, but I had what I thought was a word from the Lord that I was to transfer to Bethel College in St. Paul, a Baptist college, and become a preacher and a teacher. And I did. And the Baptist college was really good for me. Best class I've ever had in my life. I still use what I learned, how to share Christ with others. Wonderful course in the book of Romans. And the Baptists really taught me we're saved by Christ, by grace, and not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2. All right. So, I graduate from college, and I'm a Lutheran at a Baptist college. I'm going to be a Lutheran pastor. I start attending Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And by this time, I'm a conservative, Bible-believing Christian, and Luther is pretty liberal. Professors there, some, not all, but some of them didn't believe Jesus was born of a virgin. Some believe there are many ways to heaven. You don't have to believe in Christ. Some did not believe Jesus died in our place for our sins. There was one professor who I don't think believed Christ literally rose from the dead. Some of the professors thought homosexuality was fine. It was a miserable 3 years for me. But I got out of seminary with my faith intact. I became a Lutheran pastor. And for 22 years, I stay in the liberal branch of Lutheranism. It's called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, until finally I led my church out of that Lutheran denomination into a good biblical denomination. Then we started a TV show, and here we are today. There's my testimony. All right. But now for testimony number two. When I preach in Flint, Michigan, they wanted me to talk about my struggle with same-sex attraction. So here we go. My second year in college, God forgive me, I looked at some pornography that was the same-sex stuff. And that scared me. I went to the secular counseling center at the university, and a secular counselor gave me some horrible advice. Well, just go ahead and explore this and look at it, and then eventually you'll probably get tired of it and move on. That's not the way it works. And so for that semester, God forgive me, I looked at the stuff I shouldn't have, and then I transferred to another college. I put that stuff, threw it away, and I don't want that anymore, but the pull was still there. Well, I eventually get some good Christian counseling on all this stuff, and I go to seminary, and I become a pastor, and then I get a radio and a TV show, and I do teach what the Bible teaches, that homosexual behavior is a sin. For years, I'm a Lutheran, but I attended a Catholic support group for men with same-sex attraction called Courage, and we'd come together and we'd pray and we'd kind of counsel each other, and the priest kind of talked to us about stuff. So it was a good thing. Well, here's where it gets interesting. I did that for years. You know, I had a few friends that knew about my struggle, and I had a counselor that knew about my struggle, and I had this little group, but I haven't talked to my family or my friends or my church about this. But one of the men in my support group leaves the group and goes back into the homosexual lifestyle. He goes to Lavender Magazine, a homosexual magazine in Minneapolis, and says, "You know Pastor Brock, who preaches against homosexuality on TV? Well, he goes to this support group and you can catch him there." Lavender Gay Magazine sent an undercover reporter who lied his way, lied to the priest to get his way into the group to pretend he wanted help with this issue. And he attended a few times, wrote a horrible article about me and this group, put my face on the front page of Lavender Magazine. Hardest time of my life. And because the ethics of the magazine stunk so bad, the story went national. I was on The View. They put my face on The View, and Whoopi and Joy, one of them called me a hypocrite, and just awful. And I've been celibate my whole life. By the grace of God, I've never gone that route. But you'd never have gotten that from Lavender Magazine article. I go through this ordeal. I've never talked to any. Now, I'm getting phone, because it went national, I'm getting phone calls from friends around the, "Tom, what's going on up there?" I had to tell my church about my struggle, my family about my struggle, my friends about my struggle. But you know what? I think all of this was from God. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good, including bad stuff, for his glory and for our good. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love me. So I had to talk. And you know what I think God was doing? He wanted me to go public with my struggle, to tell people, yes, you can have this pull, but say no to it and lead a celibate life for him. If you would have told me years ago that I would get on national TV and do this, talk about my struggle with same-sex attraction, I would have said, "You're crazy." But here we are. God has his plan, and he has ways of accomplishing his plan. And you know the good news in all this? Before all this happened, I preached on one TV station in Minneapolis. Today, we're on all over the country. So Lavender Magazine didn't know what they were doing. God did. So when I was going through the worst time of my life, I had two dreams. The first dream, I heard a voice say, "Hands are controlling this." And I took that to mean, in spite of what's going on here with you, God's hands are controlling this. And then I had a second dream. When I was going through all this, I was so tempted, not to stop being a Christian, but I was so tempted to stop being a Christian pastor, move from liberal Minneapolis to Florida, get a condo, and do nothing the rest of my life. And I had a dream where I did that, and I had absolutely nothing to do. And I heard a voice say, "Do your calling." So here we are. I'm doing my calling on TV. If you've got this struggle with same-sex attraction, you don't have to go that route. You can get help. And Google Restored Hope Network. You can go to one of their groups. They're all over the country. But let me just close with this. It's possible you're going through the worst time in your life. What do you do? Well, here's what I learned. I claim Romans 8:28 over it. Here it is. God causes all things, even the cancer and people being mean, and God causes all things to work together for good of those who love him. So you pray, "God, I don't like this, but I'm trusting somehow you're going to have Romans 8:28 kick in, and it'll be to your glory and to my good." So one last thing. I want to challenge you to do something. You just heard my testimony. I want to challenge you to do something. Before next Sunday, Would you tell one person your testimony? We used to have at my church what we called 3-minute testimonies, and once a month somebody would get up and just in 3 minutes tell how they came to know Christ. So you don't have to do long, it doesn't have to be long, but just kind of, you know, maybe your testimony is, well, I've believed in Christ as long as I can remember. Well, that's a great testimony. Or maybe you had a road to Damascus where God knocked you down and you were saved when you were 45, I don't know. But my challenge to you is find one person this week and share your testimony. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first letter from a viewer. And it says, starts out, Pastor Brock, we love watching your show. I've had a recent argument with my family about same-sex marriage. I believe it is wrong, but they said because Jesus died on the cross, it is okay now because he loves us all. They then proceeded to tell me I am misinformed. We don't need to go by what the Bible says in the Old Testament because it is outdated. Apparently, I am a hate person to them.
So Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Therefore, I can rob a bank, be a homosexual, have 14 girls that I sleep with. You know, come on. Mm-hmm. That's not what that's about. Paul says this in Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? We're saved by grace alone, not by our good works. But shall we therefore continue in sin? Paul says, may it never be. As many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. We're dying to sin and rising to God through our baptism and through what Christ did on the cross. So that's crazy. I'm sorry. And then the other part, that's the Old Testament. No, the New Testament says sex, homosexual sex is a sin, and that sex between heterosexual before marriage, it's a sin. That's reaffirmed in the New Testament. So you can't just say, well, that's Old Testament. And the very specious argument is, well, do you wear a tweed coat? Do you have two kinds of fabric? No. Or do you eat shellfish? Because the Old Testament condemns shellfish. Therefore, homosexuality is fine. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament food laws Jesus fulfilled and did away with. We can eat pork. The ceremonial laws of the Jew, killing lambs when you sin, having a tweed, all that was fulfilled in Christ. You can wear a tweed sweater. Mm-hmm. The moral law of the Old Testament, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do gay sex, don't have sex outside of marriage, all that, the moral law, is reaffirmed in the New Testament. So when people kind of snidely say, well, you're wearing a tweed coat, therefore homosexuality is okay, they don't understand the ceremonial law versus the moral law of the Old Testament, which is still valid.
They need to continue reading the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. And one more thing. I get called, I'm a hater, because I believe homosexual behavior is wrong, therefore I'm a hater. Who I think are really being hateful are the liberal bishops in these liberal denominations that are telling people, you can be a homosexual, you can practice that behavior, we'll celebrate it with you and fly a gay flag from the churches. I mean, 1 Corinthians 6 says homosexuals, immoral, idolaters, fornicators, that's heterosexual sin, they don't go to heaven. I want people to go to heaven. So who's being hateful? I think the bishops that are promoting evil are the ones that are hurting people eternally.
Amen.
So there you go, Mona.
Is it a sin to say, oh my God, if the person is just using that as an exclamation?
I think that's especially when it is a sin. I mean, if I'm praying and I pray, oh my God, help me with my test this week or whatever, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying, oh my God, it's just kind of, that's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Mm-hmm. And so many people do it flippantly.
Yeah. Oh my Lord, thinking. Oh my God, Lordy, and GD, and mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is a swear word. Nope. Yeah.
Okay. One end time pastor gave this overview of the end time events. Do you agree with this order? Church age, number 2, the rapture, number 3, seals, number 4, trumpets, number 5, bowls, number 6, second coming, 7th, millennial, and eternal kingdom. Your thoughts?
I'm a little nervous on this because I think people get too
much with the charts and graphs.
Okay.
And so here's what I think. Church age, we're in the church age, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the book of Revelation, horrible stuff happens. Some people think Christians are raptured away 7 years before the second coming. I don't see that in Scripture. I know a lot of our viewers do, but to me, I think we're promised persecution in this world. So the way I would, church age, we're in it. We go through all the crud like everybody else. Christ returns at the end, destroys the Antichrist, and then the resurrection. And some Christians think there will be a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Mm-hmm. I think that's possible. Others say, look, that's in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation is a vision. You know, you don't push all the vision elements literally. So I'll leave that one to people's discretion, but there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
I am afraid my child has a problem with homosexuality. Should I talk to him about it?
Well, we just had my testimony today about my struggle. Had mom or dad taken me aside and said, Tommy, do you have this problem? That would have been very hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they should have. But, you know, so do you bring it up with your child if you think there might be an issue? I think I would just pray on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just do as you think the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. I will say this, though. Every parent should talk to their kid and say, Jimmy, Susie, the Bible says you wait till you're married to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
I was with a group of, I don't know, 8 Christians, and I said, how many of you had a parent talk to you about sex when you were growing up? Zero. Zero. God bless my mom. I remember I was alone. Now, Tommy, you wait till you're married to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then she reaffirmed it 3 years later. Now, Tommy, you wait till you're married to have sex. And so I think we need to talk to our kids about these things. And if you think your kid maybe has a problem that way, I would just pray and do as you feel led. Yeah.
Okay. Where can I go to get help for my same-sex attraction?
Google the words Restored Hope Network. RestoredHopeNetwork.org. There are groups around the country for people who need help. You can join a support group. There's also books there. Or if you're Catholic, you could Google Courage International. And Catholic Church has a lot of support groups around the country, so that's where you can go to get help. And I'll tell you this. I left this off of my testimony just now, but when that horrible thing happened, when Lavender Magazine did an expose and just grilled me, it was horrible. The president of Lavender Magazine gets on a local Minneapolis news program, pretty liberal news program, and the more liberal interviewer said, but sir, don't you go to a AA group? Well, how would you feel if somebody invaded your AA group and did an article? And he had to say, well, I'll have to think about that. But you know what he said? Well, we'll say this. He said, one thing is true. Pastor Brock will never be able to talk with integrity about homosexuality again. And I remember sitting there thinking, we shall see. And now I talk, that back then I was only on in Minneapolis. Now I talk about it all over the country,
mm-hmm,
on our TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a way of doing his plan.
He's got a plan.
There you, and I pray for the people that thought they were going to kill me with this.
Mm-hmm.
I do pray for their salvation, because Lavender Magazine is not a good magazine. So there you go.
Okay. My pastor says the Bible doesn't condemn loving, committed gay relationships. Is this true?
Yeah, if you go to a liberal church, the pastor might say, well, the Bible condemns pedophilia,
mm-hmm,
promiscuity, but it doesn't condemn loving, committed gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
My response is, go to my website, pastorstudy.org, and just there's an article I wrote called What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality?
Mm-hmm.
All the verses are there. It never says it's okay if you love each other or are committed. It just says it's against nature. It's God calls it an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Yeah.
Can't argue with the Bible.
And if your pastor is of that ilk, I think I'd have to go to another church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Should a Christian have his child in a public school, especially a school that celebrates gay pride?
Well, not too far from here, Mona, is a suburb of Minneapolis, Osseo. Osseo Public Schools recently for the high school students had a kind of a gay class day. Where the students had to go to class unless you opted out, and they made it more difficult to opt out this year because they did it like you'd have to opt out 4 months prior or something like that. But you go to class and you learn how to be LGBT friendly. Mm-hmm. And on that day at Osseo Public Schools, students could use the bathrooms of their choice. Hello. So do you send your child to Osseo Public Schools? I don't know. You pray on that one, too. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, if they do, Mom and Dad, you be real involved. God bless this high school student that got on our local news and blew the whistle on what Osseo Public Schools was doing. And he said, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he stood up. And if you keep your children in Osseo Public Schools or anywhere in the country where it's they're promoting this crud and it's everywhere, Mom and Dad, make sure you're involved.
They need to be.
Go to the school board. Vote in school board members who will get back to reading, writing, and arithmetic and not indoctrinating gender ideology.
True.
There you go.
I have never talked to anyone about my faith in Christ. It makes me nervous thinking about it. Any advice on what I say or how to bring it up?
You know, I would buy a bunch of gospel tracts. Mm-hmm. You can go online and go to, I think it's called crossway.org. Tons of gospel. I just buy lots of these and I put them in my pocket. I mean, just yesterday or was it today? Yeah, it was today, I think. It just seemed right and I gave it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't verbally tell them the gospel, but I handed it to them. So, yeah, just get a bunch of these. And then if you're going to go be with your family, friends, just pray before you go. Lord, if I'm supposed to talk about Christ, open the door. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's just real easy to do because mm-hmm. they'll ask you a question. So that's the way I would do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned a website that helps block pornography for people who are addicted to porn. What is it?
It's called Covenant Eyes. Google the words Covenant Eyes. You do pay a monthly fee, but it's not much. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth it to protect yourself and your children. Called Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Mona, we're out of time, but everybody, thanks for watching this show, and I'm supposed to hold this up. You can watch our TV show anytime at pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. And then we are on YouTube. We are on Facebook Reels, we're on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, or do hashtag PastorStudy2S's, and I got to read this because I barely understood what I just said. Subscribe on YouTube and hit the like button. Follow, like, and share on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and that'll help us get the word out. So everybody, pray for our ministry. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see an address and the website too.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.